Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NASDAQ Dorsey Wright podcast for this Wednesday, December 23rd. My name is Ian Saunders, and joining us here as well is Will Gibson. And Will, coming in here to the second to last podcast in 2020, hard to believe that we are already, and that I'm already saying that, that there's only a couple more of these left before we kick off the new year in 2021. And what a year it has been, for sure. First off, definitely want to say a happy holidays to everyone out there celebrating any kind of holidays coming up over the course of the next week or so. Definitely after a year like this, definitely need some well-needed relaxation time, hopefully there with your family, if you're able to travel and see your family there this holiday season. But in coming in here to take a look at the state of the markets as we get towards the end of the year here, state of the markets really, I mean, looks relatively good right now. But definitely does not share the full story that we've seen throughout the year. Coming in here with trading today, seeing slightly positive movement across the board for most of the major domestic equity indices. And in looking at the 20-point chart of the S&P 500, which has been that chart that we've continued to really keep track of mainly throughout the course of all the movement so far this year, we're seeing this movement today actually lead to a three-box reversal back up into a column of X's on that 20-point chart. We crossed above the 3,700 level earlier this morning and continue to trade up above that territory at the time of this recording this afternoon. So that puts us, we're still on multiple consecutive buy signals, five consecutive buy signals on that 20-point chart. And we're now one box away from matching the all-time chart high on this 20-point chart, which would be seen again at 3,720. Would move to a new chart high at 3740. So definitely a fair amount of support that's offered in here from these levels, initial support down from here at 3640, and then down at the 3560, 3520 is some further support down there. But in coming in, Will, one thing that we've been continuing to touch on over the course of the past few weeks is that it seems like every time we come on for a media recording, we're hitting new all-time highs, or at least getting close to hitting all-time highs on these major indices. But when we take a look at some of the weekly distribution levels that we're seeing right now, not quite as frothy as you might imagine. I mean, we're looking at a current weekly overbought, oversold reading of 44% for the S&P 500, the cap-weighted ticker SPX on the platform, with an intraday reading today right around 50, which, I mean, is certainly in the overbought stance. But by no means as overbought as we've seen when we've been at or near prior all-time highs. I mean, you think going back to the end of August, we were up above 100% from an OBOS standpoint. Going back to June, we were up above 80%. And then certainly going back to January and early February of this year, prior to that COVID-induced March sell-off, I had multiple consecutive weeks trading above or with the index above 70% from an overbought, oversold standpoint, which is not the same thing that we see here. We're seeing the very steady push higher, leading to relatively normalized from an overbought, oversold standpoint at 44%, which in looking at some of the other different indicators and readings that we have across the system there, Will, seeing that this elevated territory for the S&P doesn't necessarily have to be a sign of worse things to come.
Yeah, I would definitely resonate with and echo your latter sentence there. And something else that you're mentioning about that overbought, oversold distribution, we've gotten, of course, a fair amount of questions on this as we'll try to unpack later through some different perspectives. And that overbought reading, of course, was much higher throughout this year as we were rallying, and more particularly the large cap, mega cap names were rallying, whereas the rest of the market just wasn't, which was pushing that weekly OBOS reading higher. And actually, as of late, and when I say late, in the past couple months plus or so, we've actually seen the equal weighted S&P at times display a higher weekly distribution value than the cap weighted, telling us that those smaller cap names, the smaller size members within the S&P 500 have been climbing more aggressively than those mega cap names. And you can see it on some of the charts as well, where you've seen a bit of consolidation more so in the big guys than some of the smaller ones. So Ian, just wanted to tack that observation on as well. So I would encourage you sometimes to look at the equal weighted version, SPX EWI, or you can look at WD SPX, so weekly distribution S&P 500. is looking at it on a pure average and not a cap weighted as this is. So that's one thing. And then more so what we were going to go from here is about elevated levels on indicators are not always indicative of tragic things to come. And the first stop that we want to make on one of our indicators is looking at the implied momentum bell curve. And that's found on our research platform. What we have here is a study or a consolidated research report on that indicator. And at high level, what it's doing is it is using option prices, it's using option volatility to determine the volatility of the underlying stock needed to warrant an at-the-money option price. So that's a lot of jargon, but the big picture is a rightward skewed reading, a rightward skewed distribution is going to suggest an overextended market and the opposite. And we take that average skew, if you will, and translate that into a level. So there's six levels. Six is the absolute highest. Zero is the absolute lowest. And with a recent reading of just over 4.4, that would put us slightly rightward skewed, higher than the average, telling us that more stocks are towards the right-hand side of that curve. But as we have here, this is a study from mid-November, so it has changed slightly. But the big picture is we're going to be one column left of that yellow box. And looking at roughly the same value, we can see that maybe on a 1 or 2 week basis, we're not going to match the average market return. So slightly underperforming a really near term time frame. But the more important story is that longer dated, so 4, 8 weeks, these are generally positive indications as the market's participating. And more names than not were positive, and more instances were not than positive in the 1 month and 2 months to come. So that's one instance that we wanted to start with, Ian. And the next one that I'm going to walk us into a little bit that maybe some of you are familiar with is going to be our positive trend for the S&P 500. So sticking with the same universe, we started with the index. We looked at some of the underlying members and that implied distribution curve. And now we're looking at those same members, but now on a trend basis. So what percentage of stocks in the S&P 500 are trading in an overall positive trend or above their bullish support lines? As of late, we're sitting over 86% of names in the S&P 500 are trading in an overall positive trend. So very high territory, Ian. That's something that we've been getting questions on. You know, is this indicating froth or bad things to come?
Yeah, absolutely, Will. And I mean, at that point that you mentioned there, I mean, getting questions on some of these indicators is, I mean, obviously something that's on the forefront of a lot of investors and a lot of advisors' minds, right? I mean, seeing the market hit or near these all-time highs continuously, I mean, might make you think, well, hey, is it time to take some profits for the end of the year there? And I mean, that's why kind of we've had these indicators that we're running through for those of you that are following along there. Via audio and not necessarily looking at it on YouTube, definitely be sure to go back and take a look at some of these studies that we're referencing. But in looking at this PTSPX, the carrot PTSPX ticker, positive trend for the S&P, like Will said, I mean, we're sitting up at 86% level we reached earlier this month on this chart, which actually is the highest level that this indicator has seen since 2014. Which may seem somewhat surprising, not to those of you following along here. But I mean, in looking at it, the chart rose sharply off of its 8% level that we saw there in March. So the chart was trading around 80% at the beginning of this year. Obviously, with the sell-off, fell all the way down to a reading of 8%. And so, as Will said, at that point, only 8% of stocks in the S&P 500 were trading in positive trends. So very significant drawdown that we saw there, and we saw that drawdown depicted on this indicator, and then rose sharply right back up in a single column of X's to get all the way back up to 82% by June. Then we saw some kind of sideways and downwards movement of consolidation that we got there, and really until November of this year when the indicator pushed back higher, got back above that 82% level in November, and then most recently this month continued to push higher up to the 86% level where we sit currently. So, I mean, highest level we've seen since 2014. Haven't been that many times looking back at the history of the chart that we've been up above this 84% level. And so we decided to go back and actually pull those ties and say, okay, well, when the When the PT-SPX hits a chart level of 84% or higher on that day, what do we look at from a forward return standpoint as we go 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, and then 2 years out from that time? And I mean, there weren't that many observances that we could take note of, but I mean, and obviously each one, each market environment at those time frames is going to be unique. But I mean, the data that we saw kind of spoke for itself with each of those timeframes that we were looking at across each of the periods where we got to 84% or higher had showed consistently positive averages across the board. And those positive forward returns just continued to expand the further down out you went down the timeframe. And another point that we found that was pretty interesting was the number of times, the percentage of positive returns from those. And so we saw that on each of those occasions, that at least kind of 70% of the readings when we get to 84% or higher saw positive returns, with many of them 1 month, the 3 month, each of the prior instances that we saw from the 3 month were positive over a forward 3 month time frame. So, I mean, that's kind of looking back at it to say that, yes, the indicator is in this elevated territory. And yes, that does mean that a lot of names are participating in this upwards movement that we've seen. But like we were looking at for the S&P, that doesn't necessarily mean that a lot of things are getting too overbought or too overextended. It just means we're seeing a lot of participation underneath the hood on this kind of longer term participation reading that is the positive trend indicator. And as we continue to follow, the 50% level is really kind of that line of demarcation. As long as we're kind of trading above that level, it generally tends to lead to positive signs. And even if we're trading at such with the indicator at elevated territory, like we are currently. And so, I mean, the important thing to keep in mind with this indicator and some of the other indicators that we'll touch on here throughout the rest of this podcast is that it's not necessarily the level as much to be concerned with. It's when that level changes. So if we saw this participation start to back off, if we saw the PT-SPX begin to move lower from the elevated territory, doesn't necessarily mean sell everything, but would be kind of that first cause for concern. So one thing to kind of keep in mind when we're going through these here, Will.
Yeah, Ian, I think that's excellent insight. And like you said, we're painting some things that are elevated, but from what we've seen to be positive. And to really round it out is the question of, well, when does this become negative? And as Ian said, as that participation begins to fall, so in this case, if we got that reversal back into a column of O's, that would be something to take mind of. Now, also keep in mind that we can sit at high levels for an extended amount of time. As Ian was walking through the chart, you'll sometimes see this at highs like this for many months on end. So make sure to use the alert functionality. No need to check it every single day for that. And for those that, like Ian said, are just doing the audio, we're going through our daily equity report, some of the reports here. And we'll mention at the end if you have some questions about that. So Ian, going on, other than just a positive trend for the S&P 500, so we know that's not the entire market, nor is that representative of the entire market. So maybe we look at a different universe. And doing that, maybe we look at the New York Stock Exchange. So not just your large domestic securities, but more so working down the size where you have a bit more of a small cap presence in the New York Stock Exchange. And even doing that, we see the positive trend indicator for the New York Stock Exchange. So just like PT-SPX, that measures the percentage of stocks on a positive trend in the S&P 500, we're looking at the percentage of stocks on a positive trend in the New York Stock Exchange. So that hit 70% just recently, and that's another high level for this indicator. If you're following online, you can see this hasn't happened many times. And of the times that it has happened, this has been another thing that has tended to produce positive returns for the market going forward, both for the S&P 500 and for the Russell 2000. And we mentioned that Russell 2000 again because of the increased presence of smaller sizes in this universe. So it was a positive sign, Ian, for the large cap space and a smaller cap space like the Russell 2000. Different universes, both indicating some positive signs on this front.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think taking a look at some of the different indicators and the different, keeping track of those different universes that they follow, like you mentioned with this, like the PT and NYC, having a bit more inclusion when that small cap space is definitely pretty helpful, kind of knowing what you're looking at, right? And on that technical indicators report page, another way that you can kind of take stock of different areas of the domestic equity market is to go up top on that page and change the drop down from kind of the market area or the index area. So the market area would house the NYSE and so like the NASDAQ over the counter market and some of those indicators. The indices would track some like the S&P 500 and those indicators. You can also change it to styles and go down and view some of the different breakdowns that we have on the domestic equity side of things, separate stocks out into value, growth, blend, and also large cap, mid cap, and small cap. And take a look at what those different separated out universes would look like on a participation standpoint. And in this, we were taking a look here at a report that we had actually last Friday in the Warrior Wear section that was taking a look at some of the different levels we saw in the bullish percent and positive trend levels between the large cap, mid cap, and small cap spaces. The point that we were kind of really hitting on there was that we see in really this elevated participation readings across the board for large cap and mid cap on both the bullish percent and the positive trend charts. Both of those above, each of those charts, either those four charts for large and mid caps, being above 75%, showing that big pickup in participation that we've seen over the past several weeks. And then looking at the small cap readings, just taking a look at them before you dive down into the charts, would present a different picture. At the point that this article came out last Friday, the positive trend for the small cap domestic stocks was at 48%, only 48% of the stocks that we track in the small cap space here being in a positive trend, bullish percent levels being at 60% for the small cap stocks. So definitely a little bit retracted from where we saw the large and mid cap spaces. But if you take a look actually down underneath the hood at what those charts look like, it's actually exceedingly rare for the bullish percent for the small cap space to get up to above 60% or higher. It's actually never been above 80% going back throughout the history we have dating back to 2001. And it's only been above 60% for about 11% of the trading days that we've had since April of 2001. And in looking at how the Russell 2000 does from a forward return standpoint after we get to these levels, we see on average positive returns over a 2-week, 1-month, 3-month, 6-month, and 12-month time frame. That again, continuing with many of the themes that we've seen across some of these studies, the returns continue to be better the longer you go out down that time horizon. So it doesn't necessarily mean, hey, just because we got to these levels, we'll do great for another couple months and then we'll see things move south. On average, we continue to see in the Russell 2000 space continue to perform well as we move further out from a forward performance standpoint. Obviously, there's going to be years where we saw a bit of a pullback or maybe some continued moves downward. As we've said, every market environment is unique. We're certainly in a very unique market environment now. But I mean, you guys kind of take history for what it is, right? And then looking at it from here, I mean, another way to kind of continue through and say, okay, well, what are we looking at from, where do we take this from where we are now and move this forward is to take a look at maybe the distribution level for something like the Russell 2000. And in carrying that through and doing it, I mean, in looking at the Russell 2000 index, ticker RUT on the platform, we can see that index is also, just like the S&P, trading at all-time highs. We reversed back up and axis on the default chart, continued higher, has remained in a significant stem on the 20-point chart that we kind of continue to look at here for the Russell 2000, trading at a current chart level on the 20-point chart of 1980. Which is going to put us at that all-time high, pretty significant level, pretty high territory. And we also see that high territory reflected this time in the weekly overbought, oversold percentage. That weekly distribution where we saw for the S&P, we were right around 50%. Not quite the same for the Russell 2000. We're at a weekly distribution of over 124% through market movement there on Tuesday. So definitely see a pretty significant stem here for the Russell 2000. Again, this is that kind of longer-term 20-point chart. But I mean, we are in relatively more frothy territory. So in looking at some of these indicators, continuing to see that high participation leading to kind of extended readings on a lot of these indicators, kind of keep in mind which kind of basket you're looking at too. Because I mean, in looking at this, we do see elevated conditions for the Russell 2000. We would be kind of classified this as overbought territory. But keep in mind too, I mean, that trading band can normalize in two ways. Either we can get a pullback, which certainly wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility after such rapid and significant growth or normalization of the trading band. The longer the index continues to remain up at these levels, that weekly overbought oversold reading will come down. So more could kind of get it through either of those two ways, or more than likely maybe a combination of both. One thing to kind of keep an eye out and continue to look out for there as we look towards 2021. Well,
yeah, Ian, I think that's a really important point that you made in terms of when you're asking the questions or pondering them of, is the market overbought? Realize what basket you're looking at, or further realize what basket you should be looking at, whether it's the cap-weighted S&P, a small cap universe like the Russell 2000. That's going to be important. And then furthermore, Ian, something else that I was looking at as you were talking about this chart is the Russell 2000 currently has 12 weeks of positive momentum, meaning that the one-week moving average has been above the five-week for 12 weeks now. So that is something to be stated as well. Again, visually, you see it on the chart with an elongated column of X's, which will probably make sense there. But a lot of strength. We would also encourage you, like I reiterated, look across the platform for different in indicators, not just some of those main cap-weighted domestic equity ones. But by and large, positive developments that we've seen. And rounding out our discussion today, Ian, I think the only thing I'm going to conclude with is just some of our contact information. If you have some further questions on the indicators that we mentioned, or some of the studies and statistics that we were rolling through at a pretty quick rate today, you're happy to give us a call at 804-320-8511. Or if you want to follow up with us via email, we're happy to discuss as well at dwa@dorseywright.com. So all things said, Ian, thanks for having me on this week. And we hope you all have a nice holiday season, and we'll hope to talk with you soon.